This is Katie Kavanaugh here with Genevieve Lucky on Monday, August 25th, 2003, for the Michigan Women's Historical Center and Hall of Fame. Well, let's just start with a really basic question. Like, why did you decide to enlist in the Marine Corps?
Well, my brother was in the Corps, and I was getting bored of the job I was doing, so I just decided to join, too.
Mm-hmm. What were you doing? What job did you
do? I was working as a chemical analyst at Monsanto Chemical Company.
Oh. Was that unusual for a woman to be doing that?
Not at that time.
We were working. Because you were doing everything.
Yeah, we did everything. We worked in the lab. We were analyzing metals for making parts for Willys Jeep Corporation.
Did you have a science background, or did they just... They trained you in what you needed?
No, I just got out of high school, and I had done a lot of math and science in my high schooling, but I didn't have any special training because they told you how to do it, really, trained you. So.
Well, that's neat. So did you join the Marines because your brother was in it? You didn't think about any other
particular. Just thought, well, if he's going to be in it, I guess I can be in it, too.
Well, how did he feel about that?
He was already overseas.
Oh, so he didn't have
So he didn't know.
How about the rest of your family?
Well, the rest of my family were all a lot younger, because I'm the oldest of nine. And the rest of my brothers and sisters were all younger than us.
Did your parents, were they okay with it? You said your mother...
My mother had to sign for me because I was only 19. But my stepfather, of course, he didn't have anything. I didn't ask him. He didn't have anything to do with it.
So your mom was okay with it?
Yeah.
She was happy about it?
Yeah, she thought so. That'd be okay.
Oops. Broke my microphone. So how old did you have to be without your mom signing you in? Was it 21?
20.
20.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So you got to go in a little early.
Yeah.
And then where did you go?
Went to Camp Lejeune, North Carolina.
Okay.
I waited for 2 months. They had a waiting period, you know. And then I went in... We started in training in June, but I had enlisted in May, and it was almost 2 months before I went in. I guess not quite. Just a month, I guess.
What did your friends think about you going and joining the service?
I didn't really ask them.
Yeah, nobody had anything to say, huh?
No. We lived pretty much by ourselves, away from the rest of the town. And my stepfather had a couple of grocery stores, and so we were just pretty much isolated by business and that sort of thing.
Okay, so once you get to Camp Lejeune, all the Marines are training there, right?
Yeah, all the girls were training there.
Okay,
yeah,
and
at that time.
Were the men there too?
Oh yeah,
okay,
men were there too.
And so what was your training like?
Wasn't too bad. I didn't think. I rather enjoyed it. It was rather hot, because June, July, you know, it was pretty hot down there. But I don't know. I didn't really find it too hard or anything like that. I rather enjoyed it. We had a lot of fun a lot of times. We had a lot of work to do, a lot of schooling. In fact, I've still got some. I was going to get those out for you.
Oh,
I've still got some of my books that I used in classes that we had to take notes and everything on, and I pack rat. I keep on.
Oh yeah, you can't get rid of that stuff. What
kind
of classes?
Oh, we started out learning all about the Marines first, of course, and then we had to learn all the divisions and all the groupings on down to the companies and all that sort of thing, and then we learned a lot of Navy stuff too because the Marines were part of the Navy. At that time, we weren't really independent like we are now. And so we had to learn a lot of the Navy stuff, a lot of ships and things like that. Then we had to learn about rifles, that sort of thing. But we never had to go out on the field and shoot back then, like the girls do now. They really have to qualify with their rifles.
You were the only ones who did anything with rifles, though, I think, right?
Yeah.
Just
we had to learn all about them, but actually using them, we never
never
got to use them. No.
Did you have any self-defense courses?
Yeah.
What was that like?
Mostly it was protecting ourselves more than anything else. Not like the kind they do now with pistols or not pistols, but those boards that have the sockets on the each end, it looks like to me anyway. But and then we went into the, what do you call that thing? Had to go in these tents and put the masks, masks on,
gas,
you know.
Masks, yeah.
Yeah, we had to learn to do that. Mm-hmm. That was hard. That was hard. But basically, that it was just rather mild compared to what the girls do now.
Mm-hmm.
It was mostly learning how to defend yourself rather mm-hmm. than be aggressive to mm-hmm. be against someone else.
Right. Well, that's good stuff to know.
Yeah, it was good. It was good to know.
Especially
yeah,
when you're there with all sorts of male Marines. So.
Yeah, they mm-hmm. were pretty much segregated from us.
Were
though,
they the whole time?
Pretty well, because our area was all the women's section, mm-hmm. and the men weren't allowed in there,
mm-hmm.
except the ones that were the guards or something like mm-hmm. that.
And who trained you? Were they men, women?
Men. We had men DIs.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether, I don't know when they started using the girls,
mm-hmm.
but probably after the war, I imagine,
mm-hmm.
when we restarted with the Corps again.
Right. How was that to have male instructors? Was it?
I think it depended a lot on the instructor you got. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of them were really nasty as far as, you know, the way they talked, what you had to do and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But others were okay with it. That mm-hmm. women were there. But mm-hmm. I think it was strictly a personal thing. Some of the men didn't want the women there at all.
Right.
You know.
Did you ever experience any bad situations? With
never, them? Never. I just, when you hear things nowadays, I wonder how true they are,
mm-hmm.
or if it really as bad as what some of them say. But I never had any bad experiences with the fellows at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because I worked at a place where they were all officers, so
mm-hmm. yeah, that made, make a
that made quite mm-hmm. a lot of difference.
Mm-hmm.
The only ones that were enlisted personnel that were there were the cooks from the because they were always the black people,
mm-hmm.
black. I don't know what they called them then. We called them the Negroes,
right?
But nowadays they call them African Americans, mm-hmm. you know. But that, those fellows, and then we had one man who was a swimming instructor at the officer's mess, and he was an enlisted man. And then my husband was a corpsman.
Hmm.
He was in the Navy, but the Navy attached to the Corps mm-hmm. because the Corps didn't have any military medical people then. And that's how I met him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But everybody else that I worked with were all officers.
Mm-hmm. So how long was your training before we get to your actual
before
job?
Before I got training?
Yeah.
12 weeks.
Okay, that was like basic or boot camp.
That was basic mm-hmm. boot camp, 12 mm-hmm. weeks. Uh-huh.
And did you have any other training after that? Just
no,
you
because
went right into your job.
Because my experience in having been in the grocery store with my stepfather and everything, I got clerk's job, and that's where I went.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You didn't have much of a choice, huh?
No, I didn't. I really mm-hmm. wanted to go out to Oklahoma and train on the link trainers, but
mm-hmm.
that would have been interesting, I thought.
Oh, yeah.
Because of my experience already with being a clerk, well, that's where right. I got assigned.
Right. So what were your duties, or what was your daily routine like in that kind of a job?
Well, I was in charge of what they called a canteen mm-hmm. At the officers' club, and it's just like a little store, and I was in charge of that,
mm-hmm.
and also sold liquor in there.
So you're popular, huh?
I had a little list of who could buy what
oh,
kind of
really?
Liquor. Yeah, they told me that you know certain officers could buy certain liquor,
huh?
And others could buy the cheaper brand or the lesser stuff.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it really was. And I had to keep this book
hmm.
of who, what the officers, if I saw what their rank was, then I could tell them what kind of liquor they could buy.
Why did they have those regulations? That
I
seems
don't
so
know.
Strange.
It seems, it yeah, because you can get just as drunk on the cheap
yeah,
stuff.
Exactly. Exactly.
But they, and then you were limited to how many bottles of liquor you mm-hmm. could buy. But it worked out all right,
yeah.
I guess, because no one complained. Everybody thought, well, okay.
It's something at least.
Yeah, they got some liquor if they wanted
yeah.
it.
Was it only officers who could buy alcohol, or could enlisted?
Yeah, just officers. because that's all that was out there at the at the officers' mess or officers' club.
Well,
or
that makes sense. Yeah,
it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was called Paradise Point. Was this area, and all the officers lived out that in that area, mm-hmm. both of them in the BOQs or in the private homes too, the married mm-hmm. men.
So
I came in contact with a lot of officers, but we weren't allowed to fraternize,
right,
of course.
Right. So the officers had all their families would have been with them too?
Some of them, of them had their families out there, and they lived in their private homes out mm-hmm. there. And then there was a bachelor officer's quarters, mm-hmm. And then the younger men lived in those. Or some of them were older too that were bachelors.
Right. And so where did you live?
I lived right down on the main base in regular barracks with the mm-hmm. on the women's mm-hmm. base. Barrack 63.
Wow. So what was that set up like? Was it a big, huge room, or did you have a little dorm room kind of thing?
No, we didn't have the dorm rooms like they do now. They had just a great big hall, or hallway is what it looked like, mm-hmm. and all our beds and bunks, our dressers. Dressers were at the end of the bunk, and then on the wall they had place to hang and little cupboards to put other things in. Mm-hmm. But there were, I don't know, probably 50 or 60 girls in a room. And of course the bathrooms weren't private either.
Mm-hmm.
Showers.
So you didn't have any privacy.
No, very, very little privacy. Mm-hmm. But it you got used to it after a while. It was kind of hard at first for people who, like, I'd never go in the bathroom with my sisters or my anywhere, and here you are with all these women and you're in the bathroom taking your showers.
Mm.
But you got used to it after a while. It's mm-hmm. okay.
Mm-hmm. So did you work with any of these women, or were you just pretty much yourself?
I was all by myself. I had to get up in the morning and catch the 8 o'clock bus out to Paradise Point and worked all day, and then I didn't get off work till 5 o'clock, and I would come back to the barracks.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I could go to mess hall and eat, but most of the time I ate at the officers' mess.
Hmm.
We had a special dining room for enlisted people to eat mm-hmm. out there. And there was a time when we did eat with the officers, but there was one lieutenant that didn't like that. He didn't think that we should be eating in the dining room with them. So they set it up so that we had our own dining room. It made it a little bit hard, I think, for the club, because they had to set up separate mm-hmm. Buffet and everything for us.
Hmm.
But, it worked out finally. We got used to it, and mm-hmm. so did they.
Mm-hmm. It seems so strange that, to me, I guess, as an outsider, the officers were so strict on, you know, that they wouldn't want to eat with you.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Well, it seems
you just get used to it.
Yeah, you got used to it. It seems like some of the guys, they didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're just eating, why, so what?
Right.
But there were some that were kind of picky and thinking they were better than anybody
mm-hmm.
else. But they weren't.
Mm-hmm. So were you pretty much the only woman working?
Well, there was...
Was there another?
There was three girls that worked in the office.
Oh, okay.
A couple of sergeants and one corporal.
Mm-hmm.
And then in charge of all of us, there was a lieutenant, and she managed to see that we all did our jobs and things.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very easy getting along with them out there.
Mm-hmm. Was it different working in a fairly, or seems like, male-dominated environment?
Yeah, pretty much.
Was it?
It pretty much. There were two men that managed the club.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was two or three others that did different things around in the offices and things,
mm-hmm.
too. But basically, there were only about four of us women in the whole place.
Mm-hmm. But that was okay? You didn't
feel?
Yeah.
No. They were always nice and polite mm-hmm. to us
mm-hmm.
and weren't demanding or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So let us do our job, and they did theirs.
Right. So did you get your weekends off?
Yes.
Uh-huh. What
most,
did you
most all weekends were... free.
And you had your evenings after 5?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the canteen always closed at 5 o'clock. So if the guys needed any supplies or anything, they had to get in there and get it before
mm-hmm.
that. Weekends, I was there on weekends, on like on a Saturday morning, and then in the afternoons the canteen was closed, mm-hmm. and Sundays we were always off. Canteen was never opened on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. So what did you do with all your spare time?
Bummed around like the rest of us did.
Yeah.
went out to on leave sometimes to some of the little cities around North Carolina there. It's, Jacksonville was the closest one, mm-hmm. and that was just full of Marines always.
Hell yeah.
You know, on Liberty. Mm-hmm. A couple of times we went up to Raleigh, North Carolina, to the capital there, and mm-hmm. got to see a few things. When I went on regular leave, like on a week leave, mm-hmm. I went home a couple of times. But that was at Christmas time. Mm-hmm. I went home.
Well, that's nice. You got to go home for Christmas.
Yeah,
huh?
I went home for Christmas. That was a long ride, though, from North Carolina on bus.
Oh, wow.
To St. Louis, Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Took about a day and a half or 2 days to get home.
And then?
Then.
So you had like 3 days at home, and then you had to get back on the bus.
Yeah, get back, yeah. Hmm. But it was wartime, and everybody else was doing the same thing, mm-hmm. so...
Do you, since there was so much rationing going on in civilian life, did you feel like maybe you were eating better and all that kind of stuff? I mean, you had real butter and
yeah,
that kind
had,
of thing. It seems like a lot of people said it was better off in the military anyway because you got all the
I think in that respect it was, yeah, because we did get a lot of food that the civilians weren't able to get.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that it was always better.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they cook stuff you didn't like.
You had to eat it anyway.
Yeah, right? You eat it anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in boot camp, you went down the line with your tray and they put the stuff on it. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't want it, well, that's too bad. You eat it anyway. And a lot of times when you're leaving the cafeteria or the restaurant or whatever they used to call them, mess hall.
Mm-hmm.
When you're leaving the mess hall, there'd be a sergeant standing by the waste can to make sure that you had eaten your dinner and you weren't throwing it in the garbage.
God. How did you deal with that? I mean, that's such a...
That was pretty hard to deal with at times.
Yeah, it seems like so much of loss of your individuality or, you know, your own choice in matters.
It was pretty much, but, you know, you volunteered to do mm-hmm. it, so you accept it.
Mm-hmm.
I know some girls didn't accept it, but those are the girls that didn't make it, too.
Were women kicked out? I mean, were some of the people you were with?
Oh, there was there were two that I knew of that didn't make it. One girl, she just got sick all the time. I don't know what her problem was, mm-hmm. but she was constantly sick. And the other girl, she was a plow jockey. She couldn't walk for nothing. She could never keep up, never walk with the rest, keep up, and she wasn't very neat. And mm-hmm. I don't know whether that had something to do with it or not, but we missed her after a while. She mm-hmm. was gone, so whether she decided she didn't want to do it or what, I don't know what it was. But that was only two girls out of our company. That.
Mm-hmm. How big was your company?
The company, I don't know how big the company was. I don't remember. It was one floor upstairs. It must have been 70 or 80 girls mm-hmm. in it. I really can't remember back there.
Mm-hmm. That's a ballpark, though.
Yeah.
I didn't have any idea. So.
Yeah, I really don't. I can't remember. It's been 60 years ago. Heavens
You're
above.
You're doing well. So did the Marines have the reputation they have now that they were so tough and, you know, they are the toughest of all?
Yeah. They always have.
Mm-hmm. Did that intimidate you at all? Were you ready to go in there?
No, because I knew I had a brother there.
Yeah.
And he wasn't so tough.
Mm-hmm.
But he learned to be tough, I guess.
Mm-hmm. How much contact did you have with your brother? Were you able to write to him?
Yeah, we wrote practically every week or every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had a lot of correspondence. Until he got right into the war over there. He was in Leyte and Tarawa and...
Mm-hmm.
Tinian,
wow.
All those
mm-hmm.
heavy battles there. So I didn't get much correspondence from him then.
Mm-hmm.
But he came back alive, wounded, but alive.
Mm-hmm. How much did you all know about what was happening in the war? I mean, were you able to follow it pretty well, or did they keep it from you?
Yeah, whatever was on the radio you heard.
Okay.
And because we had radio, you know, all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think probably some of us were a little bit more of at an advantage than others, because some of the girls worked at those kind of stations where they heard things.
Mm. How much did you have contact with your family quite frequently back home? Were you able?
Well, I wrote to my mom quite frequently. Mm-hmm. My stepfather would send things to me once in a while. I remember one time he sent me a great big box of fruit. Mm-hmm. By the time I got it, it was almost all rotten.
Oh, really?
Because it sat in the delivery room for quite a while until they could find out where I was, and then mm-hmm. by the time I could get to get it, it was almost all ripe. But Mama used to send cookies and stuff like that all the time, and we used to write back and forth, though. Mm-hmm. But you just, you know, you had to be careful what you said.
Mm-hmm. How did that all work, the whole censoring?
Well,
did somebody...
Somebody read every letter. Uh-huh.
Even from people stationed stateside, and you didn't really have much?
No, not as much stateside.
But your brothers, for sure.
Yeah, but my brother, yeah. His letters were constantly little lines through the black line through a word here and a word there.
Hmm.
But, you know, all the guys had secret ways of they telling their parents where they were, and mm-hmm. my brother wasn't any slouch at that. He was able to tell Mama.
Mm-hmm.
And she was pretty much aware of where he was a lot mm-hmm. of times. And she would tell me. So, but when he got wounded, why, then he got sent home. And so, at least he didn't get killed.
Right, yeah. So, got to come home.
Yeah.
That censoring job seems like the best job you could get, I would think. To read people's mail and...
Yeah.
You know what's going on?
it would seem like that, but yet I would imagine that was pretty boring for the people that had to do it.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
You know. Hmm.
So were you bored that you were stationed to the same place the whole time? You said you wanted to go to Oklahoma.
I wanted to go away, but once I got stationed, I was okay. And, of course, mm-hmm. then I met my husband, so mm-hmm. I didn't care whether I got transferred or not.
Mm-hmm. So everybody was dating. You had social lives.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had places on the grounds. They call them slop shoots. You know, slop the beer and shoot the breeze. and then they had dances occasionally, mm-hmm. and parties and things like that. It was mm-hmm. it wasn't that boring really, because you could always go into Jacksonville, which was just a short distance from Camp Lejeune,
mm-hmm.
and. We'd go in there on a weekend, sometimes even just on overnight, overday, or for evening, you know, mm-hmm. and come back. But other than that, I didn't really feel bored.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Made lots of good friends.
Are you still in contact with any of those people?
Yeah, uh-huh. With one girl, especially. She lives out in Santa Fe, New Mexico now.
Mm-hmm.
And... But she's the only one that's left. Two or three of them have already passed away
mm-hmm.
that I was friends with.
Mm-hmm.
But now Alice, that's here in Owosso, we lived in the same building, but we really didn't know each other.
Isn't that funny?
Until she moved here to Owosso. And then we've got another friend that's up in Lake City. She's, St. Helen. Is that the name of the city? Yeah, and there's two or three of them around here that were in at the same time mm-hmm. I was, and at the same place.
Mm-hmm.
We know each other now, but we really didn't know each other then.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. Huh. So you all have it seems like you'd meet anybody in the Marines at that time, or, you know, you meet them afterwards, and you immediately have a common bond. Or,
yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you know, something to talk about.
In fact, this summer, when we were at our motorhome convention, I met a woman Marine. And she was at Camp Lejeune the same time I was, and I regret that I didn't get to talk to her mm-hmm. for very long, but we were both very busy doing some other things. But she was there at the same time I was, and so we talked for a little while. And it was mm-hmm. kind of interesting to remember mm-hmm. those things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was fun.
So now, did you get married while you were in service or after you were in service?
Yeah, I was in service. And my husband got out on the 1st of November. Mm-hmm. We got married on the 2nd of November.
Oh, okay.
He had gotten out because Mr. Lyons at the funeral here, home here, he needed some help because he was all alone. The fellow that was with him had decided to buy his own funeral home up north,
mm-hmm.
and he left, and he was there all alone. And so he got the Red Cross to get my husband out of the service.
Mm-hmm.
The war was over anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so he got out on the 1st of November on a dependency discharge. And, of course, they made a lot out of that, a dependency discharge,
right.
You know. But nowadays it wouldn't mean anything because women have babies anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, if you got pregnant, you were out.
Right, right.
And then we got married on the 2nd of November. And he came home and filed his discharge so that I could get out, and then I got out on the 20th of November
mm-hmm.
that year.
What was your wedding like? Did you get married?
Got married at the church down there,
uh-huh.
in one of the chapels down there. Yeah.
Did you wear a wedding dress or a uniform?
No, I wore a suit.
Uh-huh.
I got permission to wear civilian clothes. I didn't have a wedding dress, but mm-hmm. I had a nice blue suit. I have it yet.
Oh, neat. Huh. So is that...
We had a lot of the officers from the club came to the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in fact, one of them gave me away.
Oh,
yeah.
Neat.
So it was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to Raleigh on the bus for our honeymoon.
Wow. So were there many women who were getting married, or did you know anybody else?
Well, my best friend out in New Mexico there, she and her husband and my husband, they both worked at the, he was the swimming instructor
mm-hmm.
at the club.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were always together. And they had a bet between them that who was going to get married first. Only $5 bet.
But you won, huh?
When we went to the chapel to get permission to get married and stuff and set up a date, the only hour that was left was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and they were getting married at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
So you beat them by 2 hours.
Yeah. It was neat, but we had a lot of fun though.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We thought about having a double wedding, but then we didn't think that would work
mm-hmm.
out too well. We were going different directions after we got married.
Mm-hmm.
When they got out of the service, they lived in Flint. And then when he died, she moved to New Mexico, back where she came from.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do you remember VE Day and VJ Day?
Oh, very much.
What was that like? What was
Hooping
VE
and hauling
Day?
Most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a lot of horn blowing and screaming and yelling and mm-hmm. running around. It was exciting.
Yeah. Did you know you were going home soon?
No, because we weren't allowed to get out until we had so many points. If we had so many points, we could get out early.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we had to stay till they said you could get out,
mm-hmm.
till the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wanted to stay, then your points added up, and you got more discharge money, too.
Oh.
The longer you stayed
uh-huh.
in, you... The longer you were in, your discharge money was more.
Mm-hmm. So they just gave you a lump sum at the end?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Plus travel expenses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think I got $50. Big deal. I think that's what mine was. I think it came to $51 or $52, something like
mm-hmm.
that.
How was the salary? I mean, were you making more in service than when you were working?
No.
No?
Oh, no. No. We got... See, what was I getting at the end? I think I was getting $60 around there a month.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all I was getting. I don't even really remember because I didn't pay too much attention
right.
to money.
Mm-hmm. Were you able to save any?
I saved a little, uh-huh.
There wasn't much to spend it on, probably.
No, saved enough to buy my dress that I got married in.
Mm-hmm.
But that's... Basically, you know, you used it to go to the theater,
mm-hmm.
different things, unless you went to the theater on the base, and that was free.
Mm-hmm.
We had a big theater there.
Mm-hmm. And what would show at the theater? I mean, we're there.
Oh, always good movies. Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of live entertainment, too. A lot of the big bands came and entertained us. Mm-hmm. Guy Lombardo was there once. I met him at the club.
Oh, neat.
He was there. Beatrice Lilly was there one time. Mm-hmm. I met her in the restroom at the at the club. I was sitting in there resting, and she came in. We talked for a little bit. There were a lot of different entertainers that came out and had special shows mm-hmm. for us, and at our main theater, anyway. Mm-hmm. There were some small theaters in different areas too.
How big was the base? I mean, it sounds like it's huge.
Camp Lejeune is a very large base. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really don't know how many miles square it is, though.
It's like a whole city, though, almost.
You know, yeah, it was a huge place.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I think you could walk from one place to another, but it was easier to go by the bus, mm-hmm. transportation, to get to places where you wanted to go.
Mm-hmm. What was your uniform like?
Oh, our uniform was nice. Mm-hmm. We had a nice uniform. Green, forest mm-hmm. green, was styled by a famous designer. And they just looked good on everybody. They mm-hmm. always fitted everybody to their shape mm-hmm. and did the tailoring and everything. You had to be very important that you looked right. Mm-hmm. And your skirt was to be a certain length.
You would kneel over and yeah. or bend over and
they stayed.
Yeah.
You had
exactly.
a big bunch knee in the right middle there. Middle of your knee there. Uh-huh. And a lot of times we tried to wear them wrong side out because the seam in the back looked better that way. Mm-hmm. But if an officer caught you doing it or your sergeant, why, you had to go and change them. Mm-hmm. Or you got a mark on your card for it.
Yeah.
So. Huh.
That's so many of the Army people I spoke to just hated their uniforms, or, you know, they mm-hmm. were wearing men's uniforms that they hadn't gotten fitted yet for women. And so it's interesting to talk to people other than the Army who actually
We had really nice uniforms. We had our forest greens, our winter mm-hmm. greens, and then we had a summer uniform. It was a seersucker, a short sleeve, and our hat was a summer hat, green. Mm-hmm. Then we had another summer dress uniform. It was green seersucker, long sleeve, and it was a very nice, they were very mm-hmm. nice dresses, though. And then we had dress whites. Those were for special mm-hmm. occasions. We wore the whites.
Did you ever participate in, like, parades and that kind of stuff? Or
just on the base.
On the base, okay.
Nothing outside, uh-huh. no, because I didn't ever go off the base to anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How did people, that you would meet when you'd go on leave and stuff, what did they think about seeing a woman in service, or was it so commonplace for them?
Pretty much we were accepted, I think, most everywhere that I went, mm-hmm. anyway. I didn't happen to be in a big city. My address is St. Louis, Missouri, but it really wasn't St. Louis. It was out in the county in Brentwood, mm-hmm. which was a small community. So we were pretty much accepted there. Mm-hmm. I don't really know how the girls got along in town in the big cities, but mm-hmm. I know that it's different there than it would be in the small places. Mm-hmm.
So, well, how do you feel about today, women in the military?
Well, I think it's all right, except I don't approve of them going into the battles.
That was my next question.
You know, mm-hmm. I don't approve of that. I don't think that's necessary. Mm-hmm. I think that if women want to be in the service, that's fine. There's plenty of jobs and things that they can do mm-hmm. to help. But I don't believe that going to battle is one of the neat, necessary things. Mm-hmm. And especially the women who have children, I don't think they should be there at all. Mm-hmm. I think they should be home where their children are. Mm-hmm. I know it's easier in the service now to have children and to have them taken care of while you're there, like just like a job and good daycare and stuff, mm-hmm. but I still think that the women should be at home with them.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any sense that it was your generation that open these doors for all the women today?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if we hadn't been there, I don't think they would be doing some of the things that they do now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or it would have been a lot later that they would have started doing them. Mm-hmm.
Did you realize at the time that this is what you were doing, that you were
doing
something so different?
I never thought of it that way, no, really didn't. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was an experience. It was fun to do and something mm-hmm. I was supposed to be doing mm-hmm. or could be doing.
Would you do it all over again?
I would have. In a minute, I would have, yeah. Mm-hmm. Even now, I would. I don't think they'll take an 80-year-old lady, but...
Go try. See what they say.
Be all right to do book work, I guess. Yeah. I wouldn't do much of anything else.
So do you have any, stories in particular that you wanted to talk about, or anything that you remember happening?
No, nothing particular. I really was pretty much, I was pretty shy.
Do you have anything else you wanted to add? I think I kind of exhausted
questions already. I don't know of anything else that's particular. Like I said, I was pretty shy when I was in the service, mm-hmm. and I really didn't mix out very much with people. I stayed out where I was, and then when I met my husband, then we just pretty much stayed together. Mm-hmm. All the time, going to movies and going mm-hmm. picnic and stuff like that. But the only experience I had that I really wasn't real happy with was when I had mess duty.
Oh yeah, what's that like?
Yeah, I got pots and pans. Oh, that's always the last thing cleaning mm-hmm. up, and these huge, huge pans. You know, you have to scrub them and clean them, and then when you get all done, you have to scrub the floor in your area around your sink and stuff. And a lot of times you didn't get done with at nighttime. If you had the nighttime meal, you didn't get home till like 7 or 7:30 in the evening, and nothing to do. You're so tired you mm-hmm. wouldn't want to go to the movie anyway. Right. So you'd just sit in your bunk and listen to the radio or write letters or stuff.
Mm-hmm. So did everybody have to take a turn doing that kind of stuff?
Yeah, everybody took a turn. Mm-hmm. And I probably would have escaped it if it hadn't been for my girlfriend out in New Mexico. But they came around to the canteen and the club and asked if everybody had had their duty on service of mess duty. And she said, well, I know that Jenny hasn't done that. And she had done it. But right after boot camp, she had done it. So they talked to the lieutenant then, and the lieutenant said, well, we'll have to get somebody else to come in and manage the canteen because this other girl wasn't qualified. And so they got another girl to come in and take my place for the short time. The bad part of it was when she came, this girl was a sergeant mm-hmm. and I was just a PFC. And she refused to take orders from me.
Oh no.
So they had to get another girl, and they got another girl then, and she came out and she managed it for the, I don't know, was it what you have, 2 weeks, I think it is.
Oh, wow, 2 weeks straight of that, huh?
I think it was two mm-hmm. weeks, uh-huh. And, but it was all right. You had a lot of good times, too, even though you were washing those messy pots and pans.
Right.
Scrubbing floors, there were a lot of times you enjoyed it. Because mm-hmm. you had the girls that were there,
right,
you had a lot of fun with them, yeah. So, but other than that, I really didn't have any bad experiences mm-hmm. at all.
Well, that probably at least made you appreciate your clerk job.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, mm-hmm. we had good people that were there. My lieutenant was a really nice lady. Mm-hmm. Really enjoyed her. And then we had a few civilians that worked in there also.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There were two of them in the office that worked, and there was one girl that came and worked in my canteen sometimes.
Hmm.
But, and they... we became good friends with them even after the war was over. Kept in contact with them for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
So, but through death and divorces and stuff, we've lost contact
right.
with each other. But this one girl out there in New Mexico, she's the only one that I really keep in contact with
mm-hmm.
yet.
Mm-hmm. Did you live in the same place during basic training?
No, we lived in different barracks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in boot camp, I lived in barracks 59, and that was strictly the boot camp area.
Okay.
And then after that, well, then you got assigned or you got shipped overseas, not overseas, shipped to your station of duty. Mm-hmm. Well, then you moved into other barracks.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, they were basically the same kind of barracks, you know, but they were in different areas.
Mm-hmm.
Then when the Dutch Marines came, why, the Dutch Marines were in the part of the part that was our boot camp area.
And who are the Dutch Marines, or what was that all about?
Well, they were some Marines from the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm. Dutch, yeah, mm-hmm. They were Dutch Marines,
yep.
Huh?
Dutch Marines. Yeah. That's what we call them, the Dutch Marines.
What were they doing there?
They were training.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They went through some, like, basic training there. And then they went on into their different areas where they went into.
Huh.
I don't know how long they were there, but I know we used to hear them talking and stuff, you know, during their foreign language.
Mm-hmm.
was strange.
That's interesting.
But that was kind of interesting to listen, but we never got involved with any of them.
Mm-hmm.
They had to stay over in their place anyway.
Mm-hmm. Huh. That's really interesting. I hadn't heard about that at all.
Oh, I thought Alice said something about that the other day.
You know, maybe, and I just didn't even dawn on me what the Dutch Marines was that, you know, they were real Dutch Marines.
Yeah.
I don't know. So.
But we had, every morning was basically the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I got out of doing chores in the mornings at the barracks, mm-hmm. because I had to be on the bus and be out at work at 8:00.
Mm-hmm.
And I never had to do a lot of that. I always had to have everything around my bunk clean and ready for inspection.
Mm-hmm.
But doing the other chores, I never got assigned to any of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because of my duty, my job.
Well, I think I'm out of questions.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. And I'm out of anything to tell you.
That was a quick one today. We covered everything really quickly.
That's great. I met a few officers, Marine officers, that were really important people. I met Chesty Puller. He was a very, very important general.
Mm-hmm.
And I met him 2 or 3 times when he was there at the base.
Buying alcohol?
No, he was with General Marston when he came in.
Oh, okay.
And General Marston introduced me to him and mm-hmm. stuff, and we talked and visited.
Mm-hmm.
General Marston was the head of the base down there at the time I was there. He was a pretty sharp general, too.
Mm-hmm.
So. But other than that, then I met a few of the entertainers, but never really stuck to keeping in contact with mm-hmm. any people like that. Mm-hmm. I got hypnotized one time.
I tricked you.
Down there at one of the programs. Uh-huh. At, what was the guy's, Blackstone, magician? I think his name was Blackstone. I can't remember. But anyway, the whole audience was supposed to be, you couldn't get hypnotized. I said, you can't do that. And first thing you know, we're up on the stage or we're doing whatever he said to do. It was really kind of a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't do anything you weren't supposed to do,
right?
You know?
It was fun. So they provided quite a bit of entertainment for you.
Yeah, they really
like.
Did.
Keep
they
you
really did.
Busy.
That was one good thing about it, because then you had something to look forward to
mm-hmm.
see, and entertainment that you normally wouldn't, maybe you wouldn't even get to see it if
right.
you went out.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Did you ever get homesick, or were you?
Yeah, I was kind of homesick, but I don't know. I didn't get along with my stepfather all that well, so I missed my mom
mm-hmm.
a lot. But they kept you so busy that you really didn't have a lot of
mm-hmm.
time to think about
mm-hmm.
being home and
right.
missing it.
And you were had to have been one of the youngest ones there, since you were only 19 when you went in.
Well,
were there others?
Yeah, that. Well, the ones that were in my group, most of us were around in that 19
mm-hmm.
and 20 age. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now with Alice's group, when the girls first started to go in 43, there were a lot of them that were older
mm-hmm.
girls.
mm-hmm.
But we didn't have, I don't think we had too many over 22 or 23
mm-hmm.
in our group.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us were 20, 20 to 23 group.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so what did you do after the service? Is that when you moved to Michigan?
Yeah, I came to Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Got married.
Mm-hmm. I had nine kids.
Oh, my gosh. Nine, wow.
I didn't really help my husband at the funeral home very much because I had too many
kids
at home.
Yeah, nine kids.
Yeah. But it was an interesting place to come. I was more homesick when I came here than I was in the service, I think, because I didn't know anyone here, and everyone here was already established with their friends and everything. And he tried to introduce me to all the other people that he had been friends with and gone to school with. So it was a long process, but eventually I finally fitted in.
Yeah, now it's home.
Now it's home.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go back to St. Louis for anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you're pretty active in Marine, what do they call it?
Yeah. Women Marines and also Marine Corps League.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. When we first got out of the service, we formed a Marine Corps League group here, and I was the secretary for it. There was... Mm-hmm. 15 or 20 men at that time. There weren't very many. And then pretty soon we all started having our families, and it got to be we couldn't have any meetings. Everybody was busy, their families, and it kind of died down. And then just in the last few years here, it started up again, and we've got a really good chapter going now.
Oh,
I think we've got over 50 members.
Wow.
And that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
For the women, our Women Marines Association, that's more difficult to find the women.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got, in our chapter in Michigan 1, I think we've got about 40 scattered all over the state of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another chapter down at Detroit, and basically mostly Detroit people in that area. But we have... we maybe have probably 20, 25 people, and we have our meetings. Mm-hmm. We have two meetings a year, one in May and one in September, and we gather some place around the state and have meal and have a meeting.
And that's women from every war? I mean, not just World War II? Veterans?
Yeah, all women veterans of Marines.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, doesn't matter where they were. Yeah, some of our girls are from Korean, and some of them for the Gulf War.
Mm-hmm.
We had one girl that was still in the service. She lived in Lansing, and she was a recruiter.
Mm.
But she's moved away now. They put her somewhere else recruiting. I don't know where she is.
So was your time in the Marines, has that made a lasting impression on your life, or do you think? Or has it shaped your life in some way?
I think so. My kids, I think, thought I was awful tough. I did too many things that were typical of the way we did it in the Corps, I guess, learning to do things. Of course, with their dad being in the Navy, too.
Right.
But there was always the running war between us, who was the best, the Navy or the Marines.
Mm-hmm.
But then that was always a friendly thing. But but I think it helped. It helped me grow up, really, because I really had been pretty well sheltered in my home life at home by just being alone with my parents, their store and everything. That's a pretty confining thing. And when I came here, it was pretty confining too, with the funeral home. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How did I meet my husband?
Well,
I met him in the dining room at the club. We were having lunch, and that was our first eating together.
Mm-hmm.
And then we ate dinner and lunch almost every day, the whole bunch of us. And of course, we always managed to sit together. And first thing you know, then we started to go into the show and things like that. Then Grandpa came home on leave one time and came back with a ring. Asked me to marry him. So then we got married the 2nd of November in 45, I'd met a lot of other fellows too during the service, but nothing that seemed Well, I met one fellow before I ever went in the service. He was in the Air Force, and I dated him a long time, probably 7 or 8 months. That was a long time then. Mm-hmm. And then he was gone to Australia, stationed down there. And while I was in the service then, I joined, after he was gone, I joined the service. I got one of my letters to him back that he had been killed. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what else to do. And pretty soon within, I met Grandpa. And then one day, I got a letter from this Air Force guy. He had not been killed.
Huh.
And I had to tell him, and that was, he came back just after we'd gotten back from our honeymoon, and he'd called me in Camp Lejeune.
Oh, wow.
And I had to explain to him that I'd gotten married, and it was hard.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because I didn't know.
Yeah, you think he's dead, and you have to move on. And
yeah, because the letter came back deceased, stamped on the outside, deceased.
So that's how people, unless they're a family, that's how they found out somebody was dead.
A lot of times.
Mm-hmm. That's terrible.
Yeah, if you didn't have any direct connection with anybody, you didn't have any way of finding out.
Right.
So, I mean, if you weren't a wife or a...
Right, exactly.
Or a mother or something. But,
So how did you take that news?
Well, it was pretty bad. At first, it was pretty bad, but when it came, and then when he called and he's alive, then I didn't know what to do, but there wasn't anything I could do because I was already married.
Right.
So, it's worked out.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, that's interesting.
But other than that, that's all the interesting things I know.
Did you have any other good questions?
I don't think so.
Okay.